Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost them, just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky,
other names. Trade addicts pod, let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Russ Fisher, and I also have a trading problem.
God, that feels weird, doesn't it?
I know.
I was going back and forth, like, how am I going to introduce myself? You know what? I'm a guest. This is different. No, I'm Russ Fisher. That's who I am.
Let alone you going third, but
that's
what?
Who my mommy said I was.
What? We're so back. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 365 of the Trade Addicts podcast, where even though the network went away, the dap is always here to stay. So drop a dap if you're in the chat or in the comments. We appreciate all of you. And as you heard, it is the return of the king, the founder, the man who taught us that if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Russ Fisher has come back. Russ, did you miss us? That's our first question.
On an existential level, I missed you guys. Do I miss sitting in front of my computer at 9:44 at night on a Tuesday night? Not so much.
Perfect.
Understandable.
I'll take that. Yeah, that works. So yeah, we had rookie drafts this week. We had, I feel like half of TA leagues are done. It feels like kind of.
Yeah, it was about a good about half of them are good.
Yeah, so.
None, if not very close to it.
We're moving right along. It's been kind of a crazy week between eliminators, between rookie drafts. I don't think my Discord has stopped beeping in the last like 3 days.
Oh, you got to mute everything, man.
I do, but now they have the pylon cam thing that's shooting you stuff every 5 seconds, and
that's. As someone who's in every single eliminator chat, just having them pop up that there's a new message that you can't mute.
Speaking of which, I think the Trade Addicts one has like 2 spots left. I don't know when the deadline is for closing. That would probably be the question for the Fantasy Cares guy that's on the bottom camera.
No, whenever they can.
Okay.
Sign up. Go.
Sign up. Everyone go sign up. I think we have like 2 or 3 spots left before we can be a league. So let's get those spots filled and we can get started. But trying to think, this is weird having Russ here and I'm not sitting in the third chair. So I'm still getting used to this. So I think we have actually a surprising amount of news, and I think Rocky's going to say I'm making half of this stuff up, but I think it was some of it wasn't not noteworthy. I don't know. That was too many notes. But we'll move on to the question of the week. And I was thinking about this kind of rookie drafts and trading has really gotten kind of into it. Who's the player or draft slot you've been trying to buy during your rookie drafts? Are you buying someone like Brian Thomas, who is getting some fears around him because they have a new weapon in Jacksonville? Are you buying Nico? Are you buying the 202? Russ, do you have an answer?
I've been trying to get into the early second because I've started to fall in love with the idea of Jaden Higgins and Trey Harris. Trey Harris completely last week's episode's fault. the dummies have absolutely made me fall in love with Trey Harris, which I finally got my first share of. I unfortunately have no early second round picks. So trading in has been rough just because, like, what am I going to do? Sell T. Higgins to get Jaden Higgins? No, that's not how that works. I need both of the Higgins on my team. There's one league, one trade addicts league where some dude has both Higgins, and I must have sent at least four offers to try and get both of them. He's probably just rejecting out of spite on this point. Just like, nope, not going to let it happen. But yeah, I went in on those early seconds because I like those two wide receivers. Yeah. The rest of it's, you know, I haven't been in love with as many of the second round running backs as I thought I would be. I think landing spots may have sort of ruined a couple of them for me, but those two wide receivers in the early second, I haven't really been going for, I've been too entrenched in rookie drafts to think about going for players that aren't rookies right now.
Yep.
I'm the same way. I don't have any specific current veterans that I've been shooting for or anything like that. I've gotten a few here and there, but I'm also kind of more, maybe more late first, early, very early second, because I have so much Jackson Dart right now. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I feel like I am higher on him than most people. And he's probably going to totally suck because I have way too many shares already. But I consider him pretty much, in terms of like just looking at them both, I feel he's pretty equal to Cam Ward. Like, I think he's just as much, I don't think either has huge upside, but I think they have just as much chance of succeeding in the league.
Dark has a little more leg usage than Ward.
That's true too. Yeah. But he's going like 10 picks later. So, yeah. So yeah, I've been getting all the Jackson Dart. So that's, and he usually lasts to like at least 111 ish, and some, I've gotten him at like 202, 203 in a couple drafts.
Yeah, so, TA9, he just went 204.
Yeah, so that's basically the area. If I am trading in, that's usually where we're trading back to, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the top end, because Russ consolidated all of rookie ADP for all the rookie drafts for the TA leagues. 201 through 205 is Harvey, Dart, Golden, Higgins, and Scadabo, and then Harris at six. So I agree with you guys that getting into the early seconds probably good, especially more for me getting out of the late first, because Burden and Ibuka at like 11 and 12 don't really do it for me. And I say that as a Bears guy. But
I kept Burden. You don't like Ibuka?
I'm scared of, like, when are we really going to see him?
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, it's landing spot that got to me. Like, it's like, if they're, he was really like a
Charger, he would have been a middle of the first.
I get that, and he's not the prospect JSN was, but JSN came into like Lockett and Metcalf, and that changed fairly, you know, relatively quickly.
Well, I mean, like, no, we knew it was going to be a year for JSN. We need, like, now we need things to happen for real in Tampa for Ibuka to really get, like, we need them to let Mike Evans go after this year.
I mean, how much longer do you think Mike Evans has at this point?
He's got one year left.
Steps and turns around and catches a ball and falls down. You don't need a lot of energy for that.
Yes. Evans does have 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah.
And he'll be 32. So he could retire, or they could give him like a Legends deal where he just,
and not to say, not to say that Ibuka is a one-for-one swap for Mike Evans. They're not the same player whatsoever, no. But like, Mike Evans is getting his targets. Chris Godwin, assuming health, is getting his targets. Jalen McMillan showed that he's good enough to get some targets. I mean, Cade Otton had a couple of hot streaks. You know, Bucky Irving catches the ball pretty decently. Like, again, not to say that he's going to be Ibuka's bad. Ibuka's very good. I just wish he landed somewhere else. Same thing with Burden. I wish Burden landed somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. The other place I like being is kind of at the back of the second, top of the third, because you got Milroe, Kyle Williams, who I like and has been there, and Knoll, who might be my favorite receiver. We'll get to the...
I've been drafting a few Knoll shares, too.
Note, we'll get to the news, I guess, right now, and we can
start... Well, I was just gonna say, you've also kind of convinced me on the show about Neil. Like,
yeah.
Just the Saints backfield seems, mm-hmm. you know... pretty, what, you know, Kamara's not getting any younger, and there's not much else there at this point, so
yeah, agreed. And I guess we can get to the news, and we'll go a little out of order because we're on Knoll, but Tank Dell is expected to be out for all of 25. They basically said it already.
They showed that in the draft that they do not expect anything from Tank this year.
I think the future for Tank is a little concerning.
Not in Houston.
I was just going to say, he's missing the entire year. Like, that makes me question his, you know, the rest of his career. Like, what is going to happen here? Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be in the last year of his deal, I think, when he comes back from injury in 26. So I like Noel if you can just tell that he's going to be the Dell role going forward. And if you tell me he's going to be that, I'm all for it. On to Stafford. McVay said he's hopes Stafford's around for another few years. He signed his deal. He'll be paid $44 million in 2025. Good for you. The Browns restructured Jerome Ford's contract. And it sounds like they're keeping him and Chubb is not returning. I said this last week. It sounds like Chubb is being spoken around the Bears a lot. The other thing that I'm going to put out in the ether is that Ken Walker is being rumored around the Bears, and he will be my T. Higgins if that happens. I'm promising you that now.
I'll start saying it too.
Frank will be fully pants off if that happens.
Yeah,
You guys hear that Ken Walker is supposed to be going to the Bears? You heard that?
Yep, fourth round pick. They have 3/4 in 2025 or 2026 draft. They're going to trade him. Ken Walker. It's going to be awesome. Justin Tucker was cut. Sorry if you had kickers. Couldn't have happened to a better person.
No.
Niners. Okay, I wanted to talk about this for a second. The Niners turned down a second-round pick for George Kittle before extending him, according to Rossini. And I thought that was not, like, I thought that was pretty noteworthy, actually. Because you're telling me they turned down a second-round pick for a tight end. They could have taken Warren. They could have done a lot of things with that tight end spot, and they kept Kittle. Oh, so to me, says...
That he's the man of San Francisco at this
point. I understand that, but that means they appear to keep him that... They appear that they're going to keep him that way.
Oh, yeah.
He just got paid as much as McBride did, and McBride's, what, 8 years younger or something ridiculous? So I am putting him at Dynasty Tight End 3 at this point. I know Rocky said he wasn't.
They believe they're a contending team, and they're not rebuilding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would not trade Kittle for a second.
Right. So, I think this is good for Kittle. And I think, I think we can put at least that he's leaving anytime soon off to the side, you know, pending injury and all that stuff. It sounds like he's going to be there for a couple of years.
Yeah, and with Debo gone, he's going to be even more primary focus. And Ayuk hurt, so, yeah.
Russ, what'd you think of Elijah Moore to the Bills? I know you posted in the Discord that you thought it was interesting.
I'm here for it. Like anything where he can go somewhere where he has a chance. Like there's no one that plays that underneath route really all that much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm here for Elijah Moore to be relevant. I mean, he's not going to be a wide receiver one or anything. Probably not going to be a wide receiver two or anything. But like to be able to put him in like a flex, you know, during the bye weeks will make me pretty happy.
Yeah, I could see him being that guy that gets like can get you like 12 points a lot of weeks, and like nobody's talking about that kind of guy. Like, he wasn't really. I liked him a lot coming out, and he had a nice little stretch in that first year with the Jets, and then everything just went to hell after that. Mm-hmm. And then he got traded to Cleveland, and yeah.
Because if you got to leave the Jets, you want to go to Cleveland, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's better.
Like, yes, he left the Jets. Oh, never mind.
This would concern me for Shakir a little bit if you thought he was the one, because Shakir does do a lot of that kind of middle of the field patrolling, you know, where he can kind of
every once in a while.
We'll see. They could move him outside. I don't think he would fit as well outside. Maybe Elijah Moore and Shakir are kind of sharing the middle. They really are the island of misfit toys in terms of wide receivers, right? I mean, they have Keon Coleman, they have Josh Palmer, they have poor Josh Allen. You don't make enough money, and you just made $330 million. I still don't think you make enough. The final thing for news, Jordan Travis retired. This was sad. His knee never recovered from college. So I hope he finds a good place to go. I'm sure some network will pick him up.
Especially that's one less Travis you can roster now.
I know. So sad.
You keep him on there, man. I had Andrew Luck on my rosters with that R next to his name for years.
Yeah, this is a little different. This is like his knee doesn't work. So it's a little, it's just sad. I wish he had a chance. I put on here fifth year option season. I don't think any of these are too surprising. The Falcons picked up London. The Jets picked up Holland Wilson. The Saints picked up Olave. The Lions picked up Jameson, which I thought was slightly interesting only because they were just trying to trade him. But why wouldn't you, right? And then I left something called Russ News because he hasn't been here for his two biggest players getting some Russ or some Russ. It's been a long couple of days. Some new deals. So let's talk about the T. Higgins deal. 4 years extended, but not really. It sounds like it's one, and they can get out next year. So Russ gets to go back in the torture chamber in 2026.
I was so angry when the details of this deal came out. I was so happy. Like, look, I wanted him to go somewhere to be the one somewhere. Like, I wanted him in Washington. I wanted him in LA. I wanted him in all of these awesome places. And he stays, which is fine because I'm not sad about catching the ball from Joe Burrow, but I thought I had an answer, but no, we're going to be back in the same place next year, wondering where he's going to land and blah, blah, blah. And it's just going to be more and more of the same. I wanted an answer and we just don't have one. We kicked the can another year.
Mm-hmm. Except it's not a tag, which won't like triple money if he's not signed on something else. Evan Ingram to the Broncos, 2-year deal. I said he was my winner last week because the Broncos didn't
do anything.
Yeah. So what do you think of Ingram?
Oh, I love buying? It.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, he's still on a whole lot of my rosters. So, but if there's any teams where I'm competing, I would go after him. Like, cause we have our 0.75 premium. Mm-hmm. So I don't care if I have a tight end already, I'll bring Ingram onto that roster also.
Yep. Rocky, anything to add on Higgins or Ingram? I know you've talked about them before.
I would still let Russ go there. I mean, there's nothing like I don't know if we've talked about Ingram since the draft, but yeah, that's only stock up for Ingram. Like,
yep.
Even though we'll see, I traded him away later. But yeah, perfect. Other than that, no, we've talked about him before. So I just was going to let Russ cook.
Yep. So, before we move on to trades and listener questions, fun fact, last week we did the second longest episode in Trade Addicts history. And I was upset that we didn't
Through every episode just
most to check of them, that? Yeah. I figured he didn't do it in the early episodes, so I started to I started kind of in the middle. I was upset we didn't do the longest episode, so we're going to do it tonight. Have 34 questions written down. God. I'm totally kidding. Right, Russ, would you like to?
What? I know Russ would kill you. What was the longest episode? Do you remember?
I don't. Now. It was somewhere in the middle. So no, I'm totally kidding. I didn't write down 34 questions. I thought about doing veteran versions, but I didn't have the stamina nor the desire to do so. So, Russ, would you like to do trades or listener questions?
Ugh, making me make
decisions. I know.
Let's do the listener questions first.
Okay. Let's do Andrew Hall's question first, and then we'll get to Dinah Stud in a second because he's got a bunch. Andrew Hall at Andrew Hall FF. What do you do when you have four starting QBs in a one QB league? Sell for anything now or hold and see if you can add leverage once the season starts? When was the last time you guys played a one QB league?
I have a home league that's a one QB.
Okay.
Home dynasty league.
I wanted Russ to say like 2017.
Oh, I do have one. Like
that might be pretty close to the right answer.
One other league I'm in that's a one QB league. And I never trade. I actually did trade for Jalen Hurts now. I don't remember what it was for, but it was like a year or two ago.
But like that's why 1QB leagues are so blah when it comes to value and trading, because there's nothing you can really do because everyone still has startable quarterbacks on their team.
Right.
But to answer the actual question is you got to get good value. There's no point in hoarding these quarterbacks if you're just going to take crap for them. You know, you wait until the season starts where you have these points that, first of all, hopefully you're picking the right guy to start every week, which is the one reason I hate having to make decisions on my rosters. But also, people
that cost me a title, by the way.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so I used to love streaming during back in the day, but then it was just like when I realized that I don't usually pick the right players, I started to like it less and less. You got to wait until the right time. You got to wait till the season starts where people start seeing that you have more points on your bench than they do in their starting lineup. Then they'll find a way to make a deal. But you can't just trade them away for less than value, because then why bother?
Yeah, I was basically going to just say what Russ said, which is, and Andrew referenced it in his question, just, I think you got to wait till the season starts. I think when points are being scored, is because quarterbacks have so much less value in those leagues. Like, you just got to wait for points to be scored, and then maybe a quarterback injury to some other contending team would help too, where they're not going to, care about that until the points are being scored. So, yeah, I agree with basically everything Russ said.
I agree with basically everything he said too. The one thing I will add is in one QB, in my eyes, there's like a teardrop after like QB seven. And if you have two of those top seven QBs, get one of them out. Sell one of them at value. Because,
and for this top after seven guys, I think you can get a first. Like,
even yes, in one QB league. Yeah. I think so. So if there's, pulling it off the top of my head, so if I forget someone, I'm sorry, but it's like Allen, Lamar, Hurts, Jaden, Burrow. Is that it? Yeah, that's basically it. If you have two of those, sell one. But outside of that, you just have to wait. Make hope and pray, not saying it this way, but hope and pray someone loses their QB and you'll be able to sell one. Okay. Yeah. Moving to Dynastud in the questions, as he's now been dubbed. Starting his first one, lately I've been trying to think about which team situations I want to invest in. If you had bought tons of Lions before Ben Johnson or Texans before Stroud's rookie year, you'd have been golden. Who are the underrated teams for 2025? Any Bengals with awful D for volume? To look at the NFL teams.
Yeah,
I probably should have thought about this.
I think there might be a little weird window to buy some Stroud, even though I was all on selling him. But part of the problem was he had no one to throw the ball to except for Nico, and Nico was hurt for a little while anyway. They shored up their offensive line, and they brought in two new wide receivers. I think there's a chance that Stroud may not go back to the touchdown percentage he was throwing in his rookie year, but he definitely will sneak up a little and do a little bit better than he did then. So I think getting in on that offense in general, just because, offense does better, the offensive players do better.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have a great answer for this.
I'll alley-oop you then. What about the Eagles passing game? Because they didn't pass a lot, and, Hurts and AJ Brown.
That is true, yeah, and I might be on the sheet here. I can't remember. I did just recently, I think, buy AJ Brown too, because I've talked about this on the pod before, that I am a big believer that they are going to pass somewhat significantly more this year. I just don't. They can't run Saquon into the ground for the second year in a row, and even if they do, he might, God forbid this actually happens, but I hope he lasts past September if they start trying to do the same thing they did last
year. Just shut your mouth. Why do you even say stuff like that? I don't care that it's May. You don't say that.
I'm a big and I think a lot of people underrate Hurts as a passer too, for that matter. So and if Goddard leaves, it could be even more everything around here is that Goddard's going to be gone by this time the season starts. Even though they've been trying to train him forever and he's still there, but if it's mainly just Brown and Smith, it could be very concentrated targets. So both those guys I like a lot for this year.
Yep. my answer is going to be something that's kind of beating a dead horse a little bit, but it's people I've talked about basically since the non-point scoring season started. See, Russ, I'm learning. the Jets and the Jags, in my opinion. I think we're low on Lawrence and the running backs that you like the best. Obviously, Thomas is a super stud and probably going to be treated as such, but he could still be undervalued for what he's probably going to be. If you're telling me he's Mike Evans, the Mike Evans role, we'll say, in this new offense, then he's probably undervalued. And then in the Jets, I just like the new coordinator and the new system they're doing. And I think they're all, I think Fields is talented. I think Breece is talented. I think Wilson's talented. They have to figure it out at some point, right?
Like, I think the offense will be fine. I think it's going to be a lot more short area and running than it will be. Like, I think Garrett's going to need volume to pull off a good fantasy week. I don't think he's going to get like 40 yard touchdowns or anything like he's very well capable of doing, but he might be able to pull 4 for 57 in a touchdown, you know, on a bad week. You know, on a good week, I'm sure he'll still be in the hundreds of yards, because let's face it, they still don't have anyone else to catch the ball.
Yep. The other team I was thinking of just as we were staring at it is the Panthers. They have Tet. They have 100 other guys. They have Chuba. They have Bryce.
I mean, I'm still on board with the worry about the play style differences between the way Bryce Young throws the ball and the way Tet McMillan doesn't get open but catches the ball anyway. We finally did an episode of Dynasty Wall Street, but it was just me and Travis May talking to each other. And he seemed less worried than I was. And that, you know, if you were listening to the show last week, that, you know, the dummies were as well. He made it seem like a lot of the reason that everything was such a contested catch for Tet was not that he's great at separating. It just didn't get to show. It was just that the quarterback play wasn't great. So if they had a better quarterback who could throw open a little better, maybe it wouldn't be a contested catch. And I guess like that's fine of an argument, but like, and just to belabor the point that's been, again, that was made last week, the archetype of Tet McMillan has worked out twice in the past 11 years. I mean, it's been Mike Evans and Drake London, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all that's really succeeded, though there hasn't been as many of that style player recently, now that we've made that switch to the shifty slot or the big slot.
Yep.
It's, you know, we don't really have the X that, you know, will just start mossing people. I hope he works out just as a human being, and I don't have any shares, though I do have some Bryce Young shares, so hopefully they work out. But I don't know. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess, is a good phrase for it.
Yeah. On the question on is there Bengals like bad D, the short answer is not that I can see. I think the Bengals are going to have probably the worst defense in the NFL, which is great for the Bengals offense and fantasy players. So moving on to question two from Dynastud, a friend and I are in a safe league. 12 by 10 Superflex 2-point tight end premium, I think is what that says. We have a strong contender. Darnold is our QB3, but we think his stock is about to plummet away from KOC.
Kevin
O'Connell. Oh, from Kevin O'Connell. Duh. Yeah. We can't find any takers on the trade market for a decent price. What would you be looking for in a Darnold trade?
Well, we have a beautiful segue here. Yeah. Into one of our trades.
Okay. Well, let's segue over to the trade.
TA1.
In TA1, trade IX leagues are 12 teams, Superflex PPR, tight end premium 1.75 per tight end reception, 0.05 for return yard in all leagues except TA1, where Sam Darnold was traded for the 310, which turned into Jordan James, God bless you, 26 second and a 27 second.
Like, this feels like a very good trade. Getting more than, I don't care that it's in 27. You got 2 seconds plus for Sam Darnold. That feels like a win. Like, a second for Sam Darnold feels like what you, like a second and a third. Like, if it was just the 26 second and the 310, I'd be like, okay. But getting that 27 second on top, like, that's pretty great.
And that, yeah, that kind of answers Donnie's question. Yeah. So I agree, though. Like, I've been shitting all over Darnold this, like, entire non-point scoring season.
I mean, like, I can't hate Darnold because I want JSN to do well. And so Darnold needs to not be terrible for that to happen. But yeah, it's Sam Darnold on a without Justin Jefferson.
Yes. Without the weapons, without the coach, without a good offensive line. Yeah. It's not looking great. So yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. I agree with Russ. I think getting to, I don't think he's worth more than a second either. So if you, I would say that's kind of a little second too heavy, but I think that's the range you should be looking for Sam Darnold. If you're trying to sell him, is if you can get a second, get out.
Yeah, but also, like, this is the same as Andrew's question. You might need to be waiting until the season comes around and someone's quarterback gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think the 2 seconds for Darnold, especially you get the upside if Jordan James beats out Isaac Garendo and
Urenda.
Yep, thank you. If y'all didn't think I was doing the piano bar tonight, you're wrong. I like the second side, and the only reason I said Jordan James is so I could get Russ to say Urenda. So moving on to Dynastud. Third question, it's his weekly shit-stirring question, which I appreciate. Why does Russ hate us so much? And when is Frank joining all the TA leagues? Better yet, when is Frank starting a new TA league with rookie drafts before the NFL draft? So before we get into Russ, why he hates us, I will never start a TA league, one. Two, I will never start a TA league that has rookie drafts before the NFL draft because to me that is almost worse than two tight ends.
Oh, that's fun.
Ooh, okay. Let's have a little discussion.
That's a hot take.
First of all, I love all of you. I don't hate any of you. Second of all, Frank is working on joining all the TA leagues. He joined one today. Yes, I am.
Yeah. How many are you in now? Do you know?
Four, five, three.
Yeah, something like that. But also, we can't start a TA league that has a rookie draft before the NFL draft because that makes it different. And all the TA leagues, except for TA1 and the freaking return scoring, are all the same. But also, we did have a TA adjacent league, the Dynasty Awesome Sauce with my homies, where we did have the rookie draft before the NFL draft until it got voted to be pushed till after the NFL draft. Which I am heartbroken about.
I believe I voted against that, but
yeah, unfortunately, a 7-5, like one vote, you know, that gave it the majority to get it pushed. I love it. Okay, that's a lie. I like having one of them. It's not like I want something. I don't want most of my leagues. I don't want all of my leagues. I don't want some of. I want like one or two at most, just because it is a little fun. You know,
a few years ago, Malik Willis went 102 in that draft, and
that's why that should be the use case right there on why that doesn't work.
It's fun though. It wasn't me. It took 102. Like,
I don't play in any big money leagues, but I would never want a big money league to do it. I would never want most of my leagues to do it. It's just, it's something that's different. And when you're in 16 leagues, they're the exact same because you built them all to be exactly the same. Having a little hitch of a difference is nice.
Fine. I back off a little bit because I agree with you that having one is probably okay. I definitely agree that you should not have all of them be your.
But also, like, it would be so advantageous for someone like you who knows these players where you have such better information than most of the other people do because.
Just from reading mock drafts. Basically,
yeah, but like you also like most people don't, most casuals, I'll say, don't really start paying attention to rookies until the NFL draft happens because they don't think there's a reason to learn until they know where they landed. You could have that advantage of knowing these players before that, where you could be like, all right, there's so much hype around Shedeur Sanders, but I know that dude's not a first round talent. I'm not taking him early. Of course, maybe you won't see him going to the fifth, but it's the same thing with Malik Willis, where there was so much word of him going in the first round that he was taken super early in the draft just because they thought it was a safe pick. and it was not.
Oh. And there is the flip side of it. I have one that that I run that does it before. And we actually didn't get it started till the Tuesday before the draft, but most of it was done before the draft started, or a big portion of it. But like Caleb Johnson went into 206, which no one's getting him at the 206 at this point. Shedeur Sanders did go at the 202. It's actually a little lower than I would have expected, yeah, given what we thought before. Golden at the 212, Jackson Dart at the 302. Some of these are pushed down a little bit too, because we have first in this draft, so knock that up like four or five spots, because we have a lot of weird rules, and you can draft future first in the draft, so that pushed some of these picks down. So Dart was more like the 207 or something like that, but even still, that's good value. And Caleb Johnson was more like an early second. So, yeah, you can get values doing it that way, too. It's not just the Malik Willises and the Shedeur Sanders that make it fun.
It makes me laugh, the different types of leagues Rocky plays in. He asked me to join one, and I'm like, how weird is it? Like, what weird rules do you have in this one? He's like, this one's actually pretty normal. I'm like, all right, I'll join it.
Yeah,
because like I left one that had like a salary cap, and I was like going crazy trying to maintain.
I think the wildest thing about that league is that there's like a 2.0 tight end premium. I think beyond that, it's pretty normal. And that's getting more and more normal to have a 2.0 tight end premium.
Yeah. The last listener question is from Tommy Blair at fftommyb.bsky.social. And these questions will sound familiar to Russ. How long has Russ been playing Dynasty?
Russ has been playing Dynasty since, I think, 2015 or 2016. So I'm about to hit that 10-year mark.
What are some of the best and worst trades you have made while playing Dynasty?
It's really funny that I really still only remember the old ones. Like, I don't remember a lot of, like, trades.
You make too many now.
That's really what it comes down to, is like I remember the first ones because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yep.
And sometimes it worked out well, sometimes it didn't. But one thing that did lead to me changing the way I played was in the end of the 2015 season, I think, was when Diggs was drafted. I traded after the season ended, I traded Steph Diggs for Jay Ajayi, who just came off of two games of 200 yards each. Because I'm like, my running back just retired or something, so I need a running back on my team. So I traded Steph Diggs, who were just like, he did well, but I don't know if this is for real. I've seen Jay Ajayi do this for real. Let me make this trade. And then Jay Ajayi never did anything ever again, and Steph Diggs is still scoring points. So that's part of the reason I hate running backs now.
I was just about to say, this is why Russ doesn't buy running backs ever.
It legitimately is part of the reason I hate running backs. That trade itself, I learned a very harsh lesson that day.
Yeah. By the way, I still remember it, as you say, in remembering the old ones, I still remember like the best and worst, like my answers to that question from my first time on the show. I still remember what those were. Finally, what philosophy does Russ take into trading as a guiding principle? From the king of trades himself.
I like clicking buttons.
I was going to say pushing buttons.
I mean, the truth is, it depends on what I'm trying to do. It's the answer that everyone always gives, like, oh, I like to see what I think that other team needs and this and that. And yeah, I guess. But the truth is, I don't usually pay that much attention. You know, like I'll always send trades that I think are fair. Okay. In the moment, I think are fair, but sometimes they always end up turning out to be terrible. Like Rocky knows this one for sure. Like, Russ, did you forget to click a button? I'm like, no, I don't know what I was thinking on that one. That was terrible.
Yes, I've heard I don't know what I was thinking so many times from Russ.
Because, you know, I'm usually on board at work and I'm just like, but my real guiding principle is just all of this is always about fun for me. So, you know, I try and go after the players I like. I like to try and just stir up action. You know, trades bring on trades. People get jealous when they see that other people did a trade. So I like to try and make at leagues active as much as possible. So I don't always need perfect valuation. I don't always need, you know, to follow all the rules that you're supposed to follow. It's just about, you know, having a trading problem, just going and having some fun.
I've definitely started to embrace that in the Trade Addicts leagues. Just like,
oh,
I'll get a league where
and it's hashtag for the content.
You said I was just gonna say that too, because like, there's literally one on here that I did for the content.
So. Well, that and it's just like, I'll do a counter and they'll do a counter and I'm like, sure.
Like, are you really gonna keep fighting for that third?
No.
You needed no.
Right. Never, or man. The difference between like the 209 and the 207, like. Anyways, on to the Trade Addicts trades. Again, that is 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1, and we just did the TA1 trade. So we're moving on to TA2. We have Davante Adams for the 205, which became Jack Besh, another one of Zach's guys.
This is weird.
Have to start all these
guests. Yeah. But I'll go last because this was me.
Oh, okay. Rocky?
Yeah, I mean, that seems about right for any early-ish second. It's getting a little low. I would probably would hope for slightly higher for Adams, but I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm not as big a Besh guy as Zach is, I guess, but... but I don't know if I can't remember if this was on the clock or not. Probably was, since it was just for the one pick. But yeah, I mean, you're not getting more than a second for Davante Adams. At that point, you're just quibbling over, is it the 202 or is it the 205 or is it the 204 or whatever. But no one's paying more than a early-ish second for Davante Adams, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, for me, give me the guy who's playing with Stafford for 2 years over the guy who's playing with Geno for 2 years. And that's my analysis.
Yeah, like my TA2 team is getting a little old. I don't necessarily like the way it's going. So this was sort of a little bit of a retooling move where it was exactly what you said before, Frank, where it's just like, I feel like I want like the two. This was on the clock at the 205 and he sends it to me and I'm like, I wish this was the 202 or 203. And I'm like, really, Russ? Just shut up. Take it. And unfortunately, the wide receiver, you know, Harris and Higgins were gone already. So I went with the next best available, which to me was, I think, a little early compared to our ADP. He's 208. As early as 17, as late as 24. Actually, so I'm number 17. I'm the guy who took him the earliest.
Perfect. I don't think there's anything else to add on that.
No, I like him. He's good.
I like Besh too. I think he's probably the best receiver on the Ravens, not named Brock Bowers, but I don't think that means much. So
the Jacoby Myers slander.
I know
a slander. He forgot.
No, I didn't. I actually saw a picture. Someone, I think, tweeted it. And it was like, this is the new Raiders offense. And it had like Genty on it and Bowers. And it's like, they had Trey Tucker in over Besh, which I thought was funny. Oh. But look, Jacoby Myers.
He's fine.
Is going to be a wide receiver 3 at his top and at his bottom. Like, I think his floor and his ceiling are wide receiver 3. I think you can sell me on Besh being better than that. On to TA4. We have the 110, which turned into Colston Loveland for Brian Robinson and a 27 first. Man, these 27.
Is this also you?
I was about to say, I'll go last. This one was me.
Okay. These 27 firsts are in demand.
No, I'll go. This was an absolute boredom spur of the moment. The 110 was on the clock and the guy goes into the chat saying, someone send me a 27 first and something, and I'll hit yes. And I wanted a Loveland share, and I was just like, I really didn't want to trade away any of my 27 first, but this is TA4. I'm competing. If Loveland hits, if he does become the new Sam Laporta in a 0.75 premium, it would be very, very worthwhile. So I'm like, you know what? That's fine. And then just like I randomly clicked Brian Robinson to send away. I don't think he matters whatsoever in this deal, but this probably wasn't the greatest move. Like, I definitely think I would rather, in the long run, I'd probably rather have a 27 first than taking Loveland at the 110, mostly because I listened to Zach too much, where you're not supposed to draft tight ends in the first round, but I did it anyway. And it was fine.
Worked out last year.
I'm basically where Russ is. It's fine. I actually might have liked it better if it was someone other than Loveland, but for the 110, I mean, you're talking a first 2 years out, and by the time that, you know, first even gets value, Loveland could be more valuable. So
it's the 112. It won't matter as much anyway.
Right. Yeah, there you go. But the 27 first isn't going to have a ton of value until probably at least a year from now anyway. So, and at that point, hopefully Colson Loveland maybe is so worth more than a 27 first. So right. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. The only way you're going to know what that 27 first is knowing, as Rocky said, next year, when you know if you're in like the Jeremiah Smith sweepstakes or not.
And I should absolutely not be in that.
Exactly. I would rather probably have Loveland right now, but I can totally see the argument for the other side.
Yeah, I think the value is on the first a little bit, but
yes,
it's fine. Like I said in the beginning, you know, you don't always need to win the trade. You don't always need to have the perfect valuation. When you want to get a deal done, you just do it anyway.
Right. It's actually funny. If you told me that was Caleb Johnson, I think all of us would take Caleb Johnson because he's the 110 in Trade Addicts ADP right now.
Which is that premium, baby.
Yeah. Moving on to this next trade, Evan Engram and the 113, which became Emeka Buka for David Montgomery and Chris Godwin.
This is my hashtag Bucks, the content trade.
Bucks switcheroo.
And I'm going to put on my other hat that I retired and say, just to remind everyone, the 113 exists because we give the 113 to the toilet bowl winner. It is a 12-team league. This is pretty even. I think because it was a Buka and I wish he landed somewhere else. It is funny that you have the Tampa Bay player switch and my personal bias towards Evan Engram. I think I want that side, but I think once the points start rolling around, like we hit the season, I think I'd be happier to have David Montgomery and Chris Godwin on my team. I think there's going to be more points on that side.
I think
fair trade.
Yeah, I agree. It's a fair trade. I think I agree with Russ as well that I'd rather have the Montgomery side.
But I do like Evan Engram. I do like Emeka Egbuka.
Right.
Wow, both double E's, by the way.
I didn't even realize that. But yeah, this was me. I got the Montgomery Godwin side. And the guy reached out to me wanting the 113, I think. I don't think it was even about Engram. I think he wanted the 113. And I just tried to find something. I also, not that starting lineups matter at this point, but I also have Hockenson, so I wasn't too worried about trading away Evan Engram. And even though I also am pretty high on him in Denver. And I am a contending team there, obviously. So that's why, you know, I liked getting my... And I basically just tried to find something that I thought was equal value, which is what you guys are basically saying it is.
Yeah.
Like I said, in part just to do a trade for the show and just because he wanted the 113 and I wasn't dying to... I've got a couple of Buka shares already, but yeah, I'm not crazy high on him either. So I just figured... And I thought I did think he was the best player available, I think, at that point. I think it was on the clock or pretty close to it, I think. And he was still available, so... I was just like, let me see if I can find something that makes sense to give him the 113 because he's asking about it. And that's what I came up with. And I feel good about it.
Yeah. Yep. Seems like it worked.
I think one thing that's important that Rocky said was he has Hockenson, but he doesn't always care about lineup. Keep that in mind, everybody. I think there are times when people use rookie drafts or trading around the rookie draft to say, I don't have a tight end, I have to take Loveland at the 105. Like, value over need. You're not setting a lineup for 4 or 5 months from now. Just take the value. You can always trade later. That's the best part of Dynasty, and we all have trading problems. So I think that's a really important reminder that just because you don't have a tight end doesn't mean you have to trade, like, overvalue something.
I'm such a proud papa right now.
Moving on to the next trade. This is points for picks. We have Adams and Mike Evans for the 202 and the 203, which became Jaden Higgins and Scadabo. Which one of you is this one?
I think this is neither of us. Yeah.
Nope, not. This is fair. Like, this is exactly fair. Like I said before, man, did I wish I got the 203 for Davante Adams, and that here, that's what we have. I don't like Scadabo with the 203. I feel like that's early for him.
Yep.
But the picks for the players is exactly what it should be.
If you told me that was Trey Harris, I'd love to pick that.
Oh, getting Higgins and Harris right there. Oh, yeah. Man. That's the dream.
But yeah, I agree with Russ. It's exactly like what I was saying earlier about the Adams for 205 trades. It's like, and Mike Evans is basically like equivalent to Davante Adams for me in terms of value and things like that. So this is exactly what I would hope to get if I was trying to trade away for picks. And I think it's a perfectly reasonable offer to send if you're trying to get points for picks. So I am not picking a side. It's a perfect trade.
I don't hate that answer. Moving on to the next one, we have Drake May, AJ Brown, the 407 and a 27 fourth, I'm assuming, because there's a lot of symbols next to each other.
I think
for Bryce Young, Rashee Rice, the 310, which became Jarquez Hunter, 26 first and a 26 second. Holy cow.
There's a lot going on here.
I think I'll take the Bryce Young side on this one. It's fair, I think. Well, this is fair right now with Rashee Rice's value being very, very low. Like, if Rashee Rice comes back and starts doing what he was doing before he got hurt, I think this is going to start leaning heavily on the Bryce Young side, especially if Bryce Young does get a boost with Tet McMillan being there. I think we like Drake May a lot because he's shown that he has talent and that he has the ability to put up points even if there's no one around him. They didn't really add like the decaying body of Steph Diggs, and they drafted a rookie, which whether we like the rookie or not, we see. I'm just ignoring saying who the rookie's name is because I'm completely blanking on his first name. I knew his last name was Williams, but saying the last name Williams isn't helpful for anybody on anything. Yeah, we see their history with drafting wide receivers, so whether we like them or not, who knows? So Bryce Young might be in a better situation at the moment than Drake May is. I don't know. I love AJ Brown, but he's getting on the older side. So Rashee Rice in a first seems nice. I think I would just take the Bryce Young side, though I don't hate either side of this, but I love the versatility of Bryce Young, Rashee Rice in a 26 first and second.
I agree with Russ that I think it's pretty fair. I don't think either side is a massive like advantage. I think the value probably leans on the Bryce Young side just because of the first, but I think I'd rather have the Drake May and AJ Brown side just because I believe in those two players more. I've been saying for months that I have no idea what to think of Rashee Rice.
Yep.
And if anyone knows what like really believes what Bryce Young is going to do going forward, then you're a lot smarter than me. So I'm hopeful, but yeah, I mean, we saw just even last year, just like ups and downs and the first 2 years. So I just think those two guys are huge question mark. And you can argue obviously that Drake May is a huge question mark, but I just feel more confident in what I saw out of him last year than what I've seen out of Bryce Young really in either year. Especially with how little he's had around him. And obviously AJ Brown's still, largely a stud. So I think I would lean taking that side, but I do think because of that first and the upside of the other two players, you can argue the values on the other side.
I agree with Rocky on the Drake May Brown side only because if you cut this up into pieces, I would rather have Drake May over Bryce Young in a 26 first, depending on where it is, I guess, but generally. And I'd rather have AJ Brown over Rice in the other two pieces. And then you get some fourths on top as a couple cherries. Like, yeah, I'll do that side just for fun. I don't have any Drake May shares, and it makes me sad. I need to figure that out along the way. We are now moving on to TA5. We have Bryce Young, the 209 and the 309. For the 104, which became Omarion Hampton, and the 210. I don't have who took what with the 209, 309, and 210, because as you can imagine, they moved a lot after that. So I'm not going to say who took what, because that doesn't really matter.
I thought we'd see a lot more of these kinds of deals with how weak this class is at quarterback. I thought we'd see a lot more pick for quarterback trades. And I think part of the reason we don't is because it feels so hard to gauge the value of what these picks are worth because of how iffy we feel about this class. Knowing now that it's Hampton at the 104, like that's a slide for Hampton. That's probably the close to the latest he's been drafted. If not the latest, pretty close to it. I don't think it is the latest. I think he fell to like the 7-1 draft at one point. But I think I take the quarterback, and I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but like, I think I just feel so much safer with a quarterback instead of a rookie running back. And I believe in Bryce Young. I believe in Bryce Young to be a high-end QB2, you know, and as long as Hampton doesn't become a top five running back, I feel like that evens out a little bit. If you believe Hampton's going to be a top five running back, then maybe you lean on the Hampton side. But this is fine to me. And I would rather have Bryce Young than any quarterback in this class. And Cam Ward has been, I think his ADP is the 104. So give me Bryce Young.
And I am actually on the other side just because I am super high on Hampton. I think Zach or Jamie, one of them made the comment last week that they thought Judkins was closer to Gentry than the rest of the running backs. I feel the same way about Hampton, and I'm probably totally wrong, but that is the way I feel. So
going against the dummies usually works.
Yeah. I just love Hampton. And I just lean that side just because of my own personal bias there. In terms of, I know it's not an amazing draft. 104 still feels high for Bryce Young to me. Just like on everything I was just talking about before in the last trade. So I lean that side, but I don't think it's like a horrible offer or a horrible deal or anything.
So two things. One, that was sarcasm, Zach and J Mike. I would never go against the Dynasty Dummies ever. Two, Russ is about to not be proud of me anymore because I did this for all the reasons I said not to before. I have no quarterbacks at all on this team. My quarterbacks were Will Levis and Marcus Mariota. And I took Cam Ward at 102 because I did listen to J Mike last week saying, you know, 102 is fine for Cam Ward, and I didn't really want him to slip past me. And I traded 104 for Bryce Young. Because kind of as Russ said before, this is not the QB class that everyone was hoping it would be. And I'm not risking my TA team on Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders, and I'm good. So I'll trade for Bryce Young, who's got upside just based on kind of what we talked about earlier with offense. And was it probably too much? Yeah, but I, you know, give me the chance that the quarterback's worth more later. So moving on to TA6, we have Kyler Murray, Bucky Irving in the 311 for JJ McCarthy, a 26 first and a 26 second. Golly gee, I wonder which side Rocky's going to pick on this one. Is it the one with Kyler and Bucky on it?
Yeah, I'm taking Kyler and Bucky. Yeah, those are two of my guys.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and I've been pretty fairly anti JJ McCarthy as well. So, again, not a bad trade, I think, value wise. But maybe a little, I don't like McCarthy much still. I mean, he's got the weapons, he's got the coaching. Maybe, you know, they made Sam Darnold look good, so I'm sure they can probably make JJ McCarthy look good. But yeah, I mean, I get it. Obviously, it's again like most of these trades are when you're trading in rookie drafts, and throwing picks in there with players. It's often one team's looking to contend this year, one team's not, and that's where this is coming from, and it makes total sense to me. But I think Kyler Murray is eternally underrated as a fantasy prospect, and I like Bucky Irving for at least another couple of years, so I'll take that side.
I agree. I mean, I don't know if I'm still too high on Kyler, where I think Kyler can still produce as a top five quarterback. Like, we seem to forget that he has the ability to do this. Of course, he didn't have a very good season. I feel like if he has another mediocre season, he's going to really fall. And so will Marvin Harrison Jr. at that point. But as of right now, liking Kyler Murray, liking Bucky Irving, I'm not against J.J. McCarthy as much, but like, if you think about it, Bucky Irving is worth a first. Chances are you're really not getting Bucky Irving for just a 26 first, but just for argument's sake, cross out Bucky Irving in a first. I'd rather have Kyler Murray versus McCarthy in a second. So to me, like, the value side is the Kyler Murray, the side that has my bias on it anyway.
By the way, in Kyler's subpar year, QB12.
Yes.
In points per game, which I don't think he's ever finished below a QB1 in points per game.
I believe 12 is his lowest finish.
Yeah. I will also take the Kyler Bucky side, making us the most biased podcast on the podcast network right now. But the problem with Kyler, he's just on the wrong team. I feel like Kyler is. Like, he needs to be, I was trying to will him to the Vikings when McCarthy was having a, like, he's on the wrong team for me for some reason. Like, if he were, I'm trying to think, like, if he were a Seahawk, like, that would be awesome with those receivers. And,
well, I mean, he's on his third coach and who knows.
Fifth scheme. And yeah, I know, but.
That is to say that maybe Kyler is the problem, but I'm not ready to admit that just yet.
I'm not either. Kyler's never the problem. Leave Kyler alone.
Again, maybe the problem from a real life perspective. He's never been the problem from a fantasy perspective.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The next trade, we have Kenneth Walker for the 202, the 207, and the 301, which became Jackson Dart, Bashaal Tootin, and Jalen Knoll.
I'm just going to say,
Kenneth Walker fan, but I feel like you should probably get a. Should you still get a first for Kenneth Walker?
That's what I was going to say. I think this is, I'm not, literally what you just said was what I was going to say. I'm not a Kenneth Walker guy either. I think this is easily a cheap Kenneth Walker. Like, I agree. I think you should be getting at least a late first for Kenneth Walker.
I mean, the fact that it is Jackson Dart who has a late first ADP anyway, you know,
yeah, that's true. Those,
getting Amarian Hampton at 4, is it really the same as just Amarian Hampton, who's usually the 102? This is fine in the long run, getting multiple seconds instead of a late first, one of them being the 202. But I think the answer is Kenneth Walker here, even though, especially when he ends up on the Bears. So I'll go with Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, this was me. I got Kenneth Walker from J Mike.
I remembered it was J Mike. I forgot it was J Mike. Got the seconds. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And watching what he did with them hurts a little more, just because he's very smart.
Even Jalen Noel feels a little.
Jalen Noel at the 301 kind of hurts, but
yeah,
I'll take the best player.
Exact ADP though.
301. Is it really
easy?
I've taken him in the late second quite a few.
Me too.
Maybe not in trade addicts, but in a few leagues.
Okay, so the next one is TA8. We had Brock Bowers move for the 108 and 226 first, and we're just going to say likely late, but nothing's guaranteed. One of them's going to be late because Tyler's team is a wagon. Yeah. So
I was loaded with young studs.
Yeah, and he
just added Brock another. Bowers. Yeah.
Russ, what do you think?
Yeah, it's fine. You got 3 firsts for Brock Bowers. You're not going to be sad about that. Oh, did we not say it was yours yet? My bad.
This was me. I traded Brock Bowers away because tight ends don't matter. Sorry, what?
you got Caleb Johnson at the 108, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And then you got 226 first, which, let's face it, it's a trade addicts league. You're probably not going to draft them anyway. Mm-hmm. You'll, you know, use them for something along the way of this season because – I mean, Caleb Johnson is going to score points this year. He's not riding the bench or anything. Like, he's going to get in there and he's going to get those touches that Najee wasn't doing anything with. Though I was like, my 3 or 4 Jalen Warren shares were ready for a workhorse season. I guess not.
Dude, oh, well. I was sad about that.
But like, look, like, how do you trade away Brock Bowers? It's rough, but if you're going to do it, you want 3 firsts, and you got 3
this
firsts.
This is Kyle Pitts' 2023 returns right
that's
now.
Yeah. Say, like, how often do you see anyone get traded for 3 firsts anymore? Like, I know that's kind of like
Jefferson and
when
Chase.
I came in, yeah, exactly. When I started playing Dynasty, 3 firsts was kind of the elite player price, yeah. But I rarely actually see 3 firsts go for anybody. Yeah. So, yeah, they're not all, you know, none of them are likely to be super high, but it's still 3 firsts. So,
right.
I mean, you can never pay enough for Brock Bowers, but but yeah, I think this is a pretty fair deal. Yeah,
we haven't done our question in a while. Let's do it. How many non-quarterback assets, Rocky?
I don't know.
Jefferson, I Chase. Like the,
yeah, those
Neighbors.
Two for sure.
Is Neighbor still ahead of him?
I think so, yeah. Especially since I like Dart.
That was the end of your list last time, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure who else I would
have. Oh, Lamb. You had Lamb ahead of him, too. I forgot.
Yeah, I'd probably still have Lamb ahead.
Yeah, me too.
So, same spot, I guess. When you start getting some of the other receivers, it's closer, but I think probably Bowers.
Yeah.
Especially in tight end premium. Like, you know, we play 175 in trade addicts. Right. So, yeah.
Russ, do you want to play the game, or is your list still generally the same?
I don't want to play this game. I'll play other games.
Fair enough. On to TA9. I'll play other games was a funny line. TJ Hockenson, the 204 and the 304 for the 104, which became Travis Hunter, and a 26 fourth.
I really like TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
But I think I do this for Travis Hunter. I think there's just a chance that he's going to be great.
Russ is just going to become a Jags fan.
I might be a Jags fan at this point. Like,
he likes
if Lawrence. Calvin Ridley were still there, I would be a Jags fan at this point.
Yeah, but he's got Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback. I had to say.
TJ Hockenson as JJ McCarthy's his quarterback.
That's true.
I'd rather have Lawrence. Like this feels like good value for Hockenson, which makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Like the 104. But I think it's a fine trade in general, but I think I take the Travis Hunter side.
Give me Hawk. I've been a Hawk stan for forever, since he came into the league, basically. And I still like him, even with J.J. McCarthy. And I have doubts about, like, basically this entire receiving class. So, I agree. Travis Hunter could be great. I think, you know, obviously he's got the most upside, I think, of any of these guys. But I don't love the Jags landing spot. I don't love the whole possibly playing defense a decent amount too thing. So I don't think I have any Travis Hunter as of now. So I've been kind of staying away from Travis Hunter. So I'll take Hawk and a second, the 304s, whatever. But for Travis Hunter.
I'm actually torn on this one. I'll take Hunter because he has the better quarterback right now, but I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, almost like all of these. None of these.
McCarthy does. Yeah.
All of these have been pretty good trades. The only one I thought was pretty heavily on one side was the Walker trade, and then J Mike traded for the second, so that scares me anyway. So
yeah. And then he traded, I think, out of those. So I don't think he took any of them.
Mm.
Yeah. Cause McCarthy does throw to his tight ends, at least historically, like at Michigan, but he had Colston Loveland, so that, you know, of course you do.
And now he has DJ Hockenson.
Yeah, right. I just don't know what, like, adding Felton and all that's going to do.
Nothing.
Yeah. If you listen to Zach, who put him 18 out of 18, then yeah, nothing. But he still got taken in the third round, and he's better than Jalen Naylor. And I don't know. Probably nothing. But I don't know. There's a part of me that's a little scared. But I do agree with both of you. It's good to see Hawk back at his like top six tight end value. Moving on to Luther Burden for the 203 and the 211.
And as I said when I told you guys about this trade, this was Luther Burden. This was not
the pick
for 203 and 201. I don't remember. I didn't go back and check the exact timing between the pick and the trade, but somehow he got drafted, which is weird too because he's a guy that usually goes in the early second-ish. And then got traded for these two picks.
It's fine. Luther Burden has an ADP of around the 12th pick. Technically, he and Igbuka have the exact same ADP of 11.6, but alphabetical order gave Burden the jump. So it's really just moving back three or four spots for the 211. And that's, I mean, it's not great, but it's not terrible. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Especially if you just grabbed Burden because there was nothing better there at the, you know, at the time. And then you hit the 203 and you're like, oh, Trey Harris is still sitting there. Let me just go get him instead. I think that's a fair trade.
Yeah, I agree with Russ. I just thought it was interesting. I said this to you guys for the show. Just the, you don't very often see that a guy gets drafted and in the same, within like a few picks, gets traded for more picks.
I figured out why this happened, and I'm not even in this league, but I can tell you what happened because it happened in TA5. Someone thought Burden was going to get to the 203 and wanted him bad. He didn't. So he's like, I'll take the 203 and the 211 and get my guy who I wanted in the first place.
That makes sense.
Because this happened with me and TA5 at the back end of the second. I took Noel, and the guy who I traded back or up with basically said I thought Noel was going to get back to me, and he tried to trade for Noel after that. So that is my guess of what happened. Is someone either traded back or got cute and thought Luther Burden was going to make it to the 203, and they're like, oh, I wanted Burden this whole time, so I'm going to trade back up. That's my guess of what happened. And our final trade of the evening is Chris Olave and the 102, which turned out to be Cam Ward, for the 107, the 108, and a 26 second. Russ, do you like Chris Olave yet?
Wish he had someone to throw the ball to him. I still know. I mean, they took the fifth-year option, which is nice, but
is it, though? Is it shit? Can't we just let him go?
Yeah, fair enough.
Go somewhere else. And there's talk Carr might not even play this year, right?
Yeah. It's going to be Rattler and Show, baby. Let's do it.
I don't know. Like, I feel like the value on this is fine. Getting the 107, 108. Wow. Is this the 107, 108 for the 102 and a second for Olave? Is that how this breaks down?
The 107.
And the 108 for the 102. And then Olave for a second.
My have how the mighty have fallen.
Like this, but that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like the 107 and the 108 for the 102.
You think you could have traded the 107 and the 108 for Chris Olave 2 years ago?
I mean, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but
okay.
I'm not sure I want to trade the 107 and the 108 for the 102, though.
If it wasn't Cam Ward,
if it wasn't like, yeah, like imagine if that was Hampton
or Judkins.
Well, he said he's a Hampton guy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, and I've also seen Judkins last a seven, though. Like,
yes.
That's like.
Yeah, but those people Judkins don't have J Mike in it.
Like Judkins and, you know, Loveland or Judkins and Warren or something. Like, I don't know. I just. In this draft specifically, where I don't think there's like a. Even though I love Hampton, I don't think there. There's a massive drop off from 102 to 107 ish. Like, I think I'd rather have the 107 than the 108. And I've never been a big Olave guy, so I think I lean that side. And these picks, at least at the time I put these on the sheet, had not been made. That's why it worked.
I checked just to be safe. They still haven't.
Yeah.
I'm going back into the ADP just to see who took Judkins at the 103 because I think it was me. because I've been listening to J Mike for the last it was in TA8 that I was added to this morning. So yeah, no,
on the clock at 103.
I was thrown in and it's like, oh, it's my turn. Okay.
Before you, I was the earliest, taking him at 4.
Okay. Yeah, I've clearly been listening to J Mike and Zach. Is that it? I don't want this to be over yet. All right. I guess.
Wait, did you say which sides you wanted?
Oh, the
It reminds me, you remember that gif with the blonde lady making the face? You know what I'm talking about? I guess you don't know what I'm talking about. She's like,
I give me the 107 and the 108, I guess, because you can that can be Travion and something and Caleb Johnson, I guess.
I mean, that is pretty, yeah, like pretty on par. Like, imagine like if it was Caleb and Travion for Hampton, it would feel like a very different trade.
If you told me Olave didn't have his fifth year deal picked up, I would be much more on the Olave side right now. But he's there for 2 more years of purgatory. Unless they get Arch, and then he's wide receiver 1, which is going to be great.
You got to do it.
I know. I'll take the pick side, the 107, the 108, but it's just I wish it was anyone else except Olave, because that would make this easier for me. But it's Olave. Like, if this was Garrett Wilson, this would be the easiest thing ever. But
yeah, you're my like brother in arms with the Olave not hate, but
we wish he had better. Let's go with that.
Yes, there you go.
But that is going to be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Russ, thank you for coming back. We've missed you. Jokes aside. Where can people find your stuff nowadays? I mean, what are you doing? You still doing 17 podcasts? Where can people find you?
Just dropped an episode of Dynasty Wall Street this evening for the first time in a couple of months, where hopefully we'll be able to start doing it more regularly now that the draft is over, now that SFB is starting up and running. It's not like we're actually drafting yet. We still got a couple of months for that one, but you know, the first few waves have gone out and stuff like that, so it's a little less stressful. So hopefully we'll be riding that. But every Wednesday on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel is our Wednesday night hangouts, where me, Zach Reed, Scott Fish, and Bob Gilchrist just literally sit there and hang out and talk about whatever comes to mind. Usually it revolves around food, because we all like food. Also, Mondays on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel is Trivia Night Live, hosted by the Joey Wright, which is always a lot of fun. We had the Dynasty Dummies doing the Rookie Hootenannies on Tuesdays, but those are over, sad face. But yeah, everything's about Fantasy Cares right now. There's still some open eliminators, so go to scottfishbowl.com, go log into your account, and there's a little FCE link up top that you can pick to join all these awesome Fantasy Cares eliminators. And then, of course, donate to Fantasy Cares as you go along, because that's the right thing to do. Just do it. Just do it. Just go. Also, keep your eye on social media, because there's, you know, as we try and load these last few up, there's last few eliminators up, there's a promo codes you can add. We already had one for getting into SFB. We had one for a contest to win a gift card to the Fantasy Care shop, where, oh man, he started loading up. Bob started loading up the SFB 15 logos. And I've been watching the graphics guys make the new logos, and it's just like, people are going to be broke. This is going to be a good
year. Oh yeah.
If you're a sports fan, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll do our stuff real quick. Our stuff, patreon.com/tradeonxpod. You can watch us while we record, see Russ's beautiful face again. And also we have our Discord, the Cool Kids Club. The Fantasy Care stuff, and Russ kind of hammered most of it. I usually get to do all this, but Russ, we actually have someone who represents Fantasy Cares here. The one thing I will say is, of course, in typical Bob and Scott fashion, they like shadow dropped like 17 logos last night at midnight on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel, because Scott had to run a bunch of leagues and Bob doesn't sleep. So they posted a bunch of leagues or a bunch of logos. Sorry. My favorite off the top of my head was the Denver Nuggets one, which is super sweet. It has like the rainbow and all that stuff from the Mutombo days. So that will, yes, there are going to be a lot of broke people on Fantasy Cares is getting a lot of money from this one. Also, can you still get Zach's rookie report? FantasyCares.org/campaigns. Yep.
FantasyCares.org/campaigns. We have two campaigns going right now. One of them still is the Zach Reed Rook report. And then the other is the
yes,
which you know if you watch all of our lives. It's the end of summer bonanza. I don't even know if we have a real name for it. It's like a giveaway goodness. It's I don't even know. Where Scott had this plan where he wants to give away like 50 prizes in one show. So all you got to do is go to fantasycares.org/campaigns, and you'll see the summer giveaway campaign. Any donation to that gets you into the drawings, and there's going to be a ton of prizes to win. And it's just going to be a gigantic wheel. Pick a name, pick a prize, pick a name, pick a prize, pick a name, pick a prize for hours. It's going to be so much fun. I greatly look forward to this. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it is. And for those out there waiting for the Switch 2, Scott teased he did get a pre-order in for the
giveaway. Yes, one of the prizes will be a Switch 2.
Yes, so you can all destroy your children at Mario Kart. The last thing, like I said, TradeX Eliminator has a couple spots left. Everyone get into that. And Russ, last Friday with John Bosch, race days are back. Yes. So everyone get some races in. You can hear Russ on the call for those, his excellent play-by-play of the races. And as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Frank. Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.